So many things going on out there. We received the latest data this week on the Consumer Price Index. And kind of interesting what's going on with the Consumer Price Index. The year-over-year increase now is 2.7%. And the six-month annualized interest is about 3.5%. Now, why is that? Well, especially with reference to that six-month figure, well, there has not been much going on in food prices over the last 6 months. As a matter of fact, over the last 6 months, on an annualized basis, food prices have gained only 0.6%, not much at all. And over the last 6 months, energy prices have risen 20% annualized. And that feeds right into the headline number where the six-month annualized for CPI, Consumer Price Index, standing at 3.6%. Some other interesting data from the Consumer Price Index report that we received this week. We saw shelter costs year over year up 3.5%. Medical care services up 3.4% on a year-over-year basis. And the core rate, 2.2%. Now, keep in mind, these are not the figures that the Federal Reserve relies on. They rely on a separate index, which they believe, and I believe, measures inflation more accurately and more relevantly, and that is the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, and the PCE, as it's known, is less than 2%. And that's what the Fed focuses on, and I believe that's what the Fed should focus on, and that's what I think everybody should focus on. But we have this tradition, again, handed down of the Consumer Price Index, so we also track it. And you hear a lot of nonsense about the Consumer Price Index. The most widely accepted myth, it's completely bogus, the most widely accepted myth is that inflation is only measured excluding food and energy. Of course, that's not true. That is a lie. That is a lie. If anybody tells you that, they're lying to you. Why they're lying to you is between them and their psychiatrist, but they're lying to you. The Consumer Price Index is measured on a regular monthly basis in the United States, and it's measured with and without food and energy. With food and energy, year over year is 2.7. Without food and energy, known as the core index, it's 2.2. By the way, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index is also measured before and after food and energy. Daryl is on the line in Texas. Hello, Daryl. Welcome to Money Talk. Good to have you with us.
Yes, the previous caller, earlier caller, talking about RMDs from your IRA rollover. And he's talking about having, like, money in the money market account to pay when the RMDs start coming out. If you're invested in several funds and there's no cash in your money market account, in that account, you know, what do they start? Do they have to start selling stuff out of different funds, or should you sell stuff and have some cash in there in your money market?
I think it's a management question, and I think the proper way to manage such a fund is to have those monies available so that you're not forced into making a decision at a time that you don't want to make it. So that means that you're always ahead of the curve on your required minimum distribution, which is only a very small fraction of the account for most people. And so the easy way to do it, the painless way to do it, is simply steer your dividends and interest into a money market account, and the money's available.
Okay, so you just need to try to figure out when to start doing that, like, you know, two or three years before you retire?
Certainly a couple of years of where you're going to have to get, you know, you have to get enough money together, even in your first year, if it's right after 70 and a half. It's still less than 4% the first year. So if you steer some dividends and interest in there for a year or two, you're going to have that. And then you keep it flowing in there. I like to keep a year ahead. Yeah, I would say that's a very smart way to go about it, Daryl. Rather than getting caught, a dime short and having to take an RMD when things go against you, you don't want to get in that position.
Do you normally designate which, for the RMDs to come out of that, or do they kind of do that by default if you have money in the prime money market account?
Well, you would have to tell them at that point. Well, no, you're going to direct that money. You're going to pay that money out of the account, and you're going to make that payment. So, in that case, if you have the money in a money market account, then you withdraw the money from the money market account, and you make the payment from there.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you clearing that up for me.
Thank you, Daryl. And that's really the meaning. I'm glad Daryl called from the Lone Star State, because that is really what we talk about when we discuss liquidity. That's the whole purpose of having liquidity, is so that you have the money available to use when you need it. Tim's on the line listening to the great KFAR Radio Fairbanks. Hello, Tim. Welcome to Money Talk.
Hey, Bob. It's an honor.
Good to have you with us. What's up?
Hey, my wife and I bought a recreational vehicle, about 170,000, and I've got a Roth IRA with about 220 and a regular IRA with about 290 in it. And I was going to go ahead and pay it off with the IRA money, but I wanted your opinion on that. You hate to just use up all your liquidity I do have a steady income in addition to that. About $3,500 a month. The payment on the motorhome is about $1,020 a month. It's a 20-year loan, and I believe I can deduct the interest on it because it's a second home, considered a second home. These are our golden years, so we're trying to enjoy life. This is kind of like the second home you mentioned.
It's a vacation. It's a vacation property, as far as I'm concerned. Here's the way I look at it, Tim. First of all. Obviously, the quality of life contribution is immeasurable, and I'm all for that. So I think you did something that makes a lot of sense here. But I'm not going into my tax-privileged accounts to pay this loan off. I'm going to pay this off out of income. I'm going to take that deduction. I'm going to take that second home deduction that you talked about, and I'm going to pay this out of income. I'm not going, unless I have to, I'm not going to go into my tax-privileged accounts. If I had to go into my tax-privileged accounts, of course I would use the Roth first, because that's, assuming it qualifies for tax-free withdrawal, then it wouldn't have any tax event. Yeah. But I'm not going there unless I have to. I'm going to try to do this out of income and let those tax-privileged accounts flourish.
Now, let me ask you this. Dip into the Roth and withdraw, $50,000, $60,000 to drop on the loan, the principal, and that would get my principal versus interest payment at least above water, so to speak.
What do you mean by that? Give me a little color on that, Tim. What are you saying?
Well, right now the principal versus interest on the loan is, on the payment, is like 30-70, 30 to principal, 70 to interest, 70%.
I have an idea for you. Do you have an amortization schedule? Sounds like you do.
Yes.
Good for you. Well, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. If you want to convert that 20-year term into a 10-year term, then pay an extra principal payment every month. So every month you pay your regular payment plus the next principal payment, and you'll own it in 10 years.
You would do that instead of taking a lump sum out of the Roth and dropping it right on the principal?
If I could afford to do that, I would do that without even thinking about it.
Oh, you would?
Well, I don't want to go into the tax-privileged accounts if I don't have to. I said I would if I had to, but I don't want to. And, I would take that amortization schedule, and I would make the regular payment plus the next principal payment, which is going to be small because most of it's interest. And you'll own it in 10 years instead of 20. That's a big psychological advantage.
Okay, Bob. I very much appreciate it. Long-time listener, subscriber, and been with you since 86. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Tim.